Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This is your second time host, Mr. Jonathan Metz, the former director of Planet GameCube and now the reviews editor of Nintendo World Report. I hope you're enjoying your Wiis. I hope you're enjoying your new DS games. I hope you're enjoying our new website. I hope you're enjoying your holidays. I hope you're enjoying final exams. Hope you're enjoying yourself and each other. Good night. No, we have another exciting episode here, and I'm running a little short on time, so I'm going to try to roll through this pretty quickly, and that's why I sound like that one teacher from Saved by the Bell back when they were in middle school. So, here you go, segment one, what have you been playing? We have with us tonight Nintendo World Report Director Steven Rodriguez and Nintendo World Report IT Director Michael TYP Cole. Hello, guys, how are you?
Doing okay.
Great to be back, Ken.
Say hi to the little people.
Hi.
Hi.
That was heartfelt. I enjoyed that immensely. So guys, what are you playing as of like now? Other than Skype. I mean, what are you playing?
What am I playing?
Yeah.
Well, I finally beat Zelda just like earlier today. Or was that last
So tell
night?
Us all about the ending, please.
I think Link kills Ganon. I don't know, maybe. Nah, that doesn't happen. I'm a big fat liar.
Kay.
No. Seriously, it was cool. I'm going to go back through it and get all the cool stuff right now. I've got about 6 hearts to go. And
I'm in the same position. I beat it last weekend, and I haven't really played it since then because I have other things to play, and actually I've been playing much this week. But I'll get back to it at some point. I do want to check out. I still have like one more sword maneuver, I think.
Yeah, I got them all.
Yeah, so
the last one is awesome.
It's just hard to find.
Well, I don't know where to get it.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know where it is either. I got to go do some exploring.
Where did I get it?
I don't know if we want to do spoilers here.
I'm just going to remember how out of the way it was. Yeah, it's a little bit out of the way. It's not in an obvious spot. It's off to the side somewhere, but it's really cool once you get it. It's a throwback. I'll say that.
Sweet.
I suspect that it may be that. Do you have to get them in a certain order,
no.
Or the tablets?
I think you can get them in any order.
I think the tablet you. So the tablet is linked to the actual move you get. It isn't that you found the next tablet.
No,
so,
I think the moves, you have to get the moves in a certain order, but you can find the tablets in any order.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's whatever tablet I haven't found yet. It's the last one.
Right, exactly. Basically. And that's what makes it hard to track it down, because you can't just have someone tell you, oh, yeah, it's the one over by whatever, because you may have found that one and missed another.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway,
that's what I thought.
What else are you playing, Wendy?
I just got Monkey Ball Banana Blitz a couple days ago. And I played a little bit.
That one's
I haven't played any of the multiplayer games yet because I'm a loner. Why are you laughing?
You don't have any friends.
No, but I went through the single player game so far and it's pretty good. I like how the controls are set up. I wish that you held the controller sideways like an Excitrot instead of forward.
I've heard that.
I'm kind of getting used to it, but it's pretty good so far.
I was really interested in that game up until launch, and then I saw the reviews, especially from the guys on our staff, and it just really turned me off from it. I don't have any interest in it now.
Yeah,
I agree.
I didn't really care about all the multiplayer games, and that's really what all the strikes against it are. But the single player is pretty fun. I like how the addition of the jump, it doesn't really cheapen the game at all, because going airborne is a pretty big risk. Because if you land wrong, you're screwed.
Well, that was the case in the earlier games too. You couldn't just press a button and jump, but there were ways to get airborne on pretty much every map, and it was always really dangerous.
Yeah, just because
the way you control the level and everything, it makes it really hard to tell where you're going to land.
Yeah, exactly. And just because you can control when you jump off of the platform doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, I believe that. So, anything else? Any DS games?
Well, I've still been playing Elite Agents.
All right.
And Guitar Hero 2, like I was still playing it last week. And that's pretty much it so far. Oh, wait, you know what else I've been playing? The most addicting game in the world is Bookworm Adventures. Oh my god. For the PC from PopCap.
Yeah, I've been playing that. Well, I played it till the end of the trial and then decided not to buy it, but man, I made some ridiculous words. It was awesome.
Yeah, I made like a
It's fun. I mean, for a free game, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I made a 13-letter word.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah, that was... It's great that... No, I can spell a 13-letter word. Suck on that, biatch. That's awesome.
Okay. That's UIP. What about you? What are you playing?
Well, like we were discussing, Zelda's kind of lingering. I've beaten the main game, but I have lots of exploration to do, especially now that I have my new cables and monitor. But I just finally got Kirby Squeak Squad, so I'm pounding through that. It's fun. I mean, it's a traditional Kirby game. I'm not sure what else to say about it at this point.
Hmm. So that like the DS specific stuff is not all that compelling?
No, it really is more like a Kirby's Adventure or one of the more traditional games. The only really DS stuff I've run into so far are some pretty meh mini games, and you can mix powers in your stomach now. So it goes to the bottom of the screen. That's your stomach. And so you can hold up to 5 items. And that's pretty cool. So you can store items and then mix them in your stomach.
So is the mixing like in Kirby 64?
No, it's more like the Kirby Adventure, really, where you just have two and then you've mixed them and you get another random power.
So it's another. So the item that you get when you mix them is something that you could have gotten on its own also?
Yes. No, it's not combination. It's mix. You just mix them together and it randomizes it.
No refrigerator, no sale.
Yeah, that really sucks.
Yeah.
I think that the Kirby series is such a cool idea, and they've done so little with it. I was very happy with Canvas Curse, and I thought, wow, you know, in some ways it didn't feel that much like a Kirby game, but it was so good, I just didn't even care. And I'm very disappointed to hear that they're going back to the old formula and they're not really doing anything very interesting. And even, to me, the combining powers in Kirby 64 was the best thing that ever happened to that series, and they've never reproduced it.
Well, I think part of it is the traditional Kirby games lately, kind of like the portable Zelda games, have been semi-outsourced, actually, to Flagship. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, both Mirror, Amazing Mirror, and Squeak Squad were made by Flagship.
Well, Amazing Mirror.
And I actually liked
Amazing
Mirror. Actually, it kind of did a Metroid.
Right, exactly. I liked it too. I mean, it played like Kirby, but it was a lot. I mean, there was no linearity whatsoever. In fact, a lot of the time, it's just like, where the hell do I go? And the truth is, you can go in 10 different directions. The problem is picking one. Yeah, I really liked Amazing Mirror. It's a little short, but I mean, it's a lot of fun, and it's just really cool to see that kind of game design applied to a game that you would never think they would put it on like Kirby.
Well, Kirby Squeak Squad is definitely the traditional Kirby game. And to be honest, Johnny, your statement about never being done before or whatever for Kirby isn't quite true. In Kirby Superstar, they had the Great Cave Offensive, and that's really where the idea came from.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, man.
If they put Superstar in Virtual Console, I would buy it like so fast.
There's so many games that I am interested. Yeah. I never owned Dream Land 3 or Superstar, so I totally picked those up on Virtual Console.
I think Superstar is the best Kirby game ever made.
Everybody says that, and I've never played it. And
it's awesome.
I'm waiting for them to put it on Virtual Console because I'll gladly pick it up. It's not that easy to find on Super Nintendo.
You guys are making me anchoring to play that game again.
Okay.
thinking about
so
it.
So I've been very quickly. I've been playing. Some Elite Beat Agents, I took about a week off of it because I kind of hit a wall on Jumping Jack Flash, but I've been playing it more again today, and I've made some... This is how hard Elite Beat Agents is you start to feel proud that you made progress within a song. So now I can get to the third segment before I fail.
That's good.
Yeah. So after playing it 12 or 15 times in a row, and I played, like Wendy, I played Bookworm Adventures for a couple days. I didn't buy it, so it's $30.
Yeah, $30
is steep. It looks like there's a lot of additional content when you buy it, but it's still a Flash game for $30.
It's worth it, and actually I've heard that this is PopCap's biggest game to date. They spent over $700,000 on it. It took 2.5 years to develop. Yeah. I don't know why it would take that long.
I don't either.
But
that's ridiculous.
For a bigger developer, this would probably be over and done with. But it's actually really deep. There are different tiles that pop up that can do different things to your grid. Like, you can lock tiles, make tiles useless. It would be like kind of a plague tile that spreads to other tiles if you don't use it enough.
I want to get off this game because it's not even playable on any Nintendo console. It's just a PC download game. But it is really cool.
I mean, it is what we are playing.
The arcade. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
But I've actually I had a few days this week. School really kicked my ass for a few days, and I didn't get to play anything. But since I've cleaned up on some of that stuff. I've been playing a lot of Excitetruck the past couple days, and Excitetruck is still the Wii launch game that keeps pulling me back in. It's the game that, I mean, I still haven't, I'm in Super Excite now, and I just opened up the Platinum courses today, and I haven't even gotten into them yet. But it gets harder and harder and harder, and it's still fun, even though the tracks, at this point, I've played like the, I'm playing like the sixth or seventh variation on the same environment, and the track designs are getting pretty repetitive,
yeah.
But it's so much fun. I mean, it's just insanely fun, and I have to say that when I finally got an SD card, that really renewed my interest in the game, because the music was just chipping away at my soul, and now I can play it, and it's just the biggest flaw of the game is now wiped clean. And it makes the game so much easier to play, so much easier to enjoy. And it's easier to bring friends over and show it to them without, you know, now I can do that without feeling like I'm subjecting them to this awful torture to their ears. So I've got some good stuff. The challenge for me has been... I see what you did there. See, the problem... TYP had this idea where he would spring this... Kickle Cubicle song on us in the middle of the conversation like I used to do on Radio Trivia, except he's playing the wrong song, so it doesn't work, and you suck at life. Gosh.
Fire me.
Anyway.
Oh, wait.
Dude, you're so fired. So I was trying to buy a Castlevania today because I really, really, really want to play the new Castlevania on DS, but Best Buy was like, oh, yeah, that's not out yet, and I said, yeah, it is, and he's like, oh, I guess we don't have it yet. So, I don't know, I'm too lazy to go to another store, and I'm too, honestly, too cheap. I just bought a bunch of Christmas presents, and I'm like, $30, so I will get it. I will get it soon.
The pre-order stuff looks a lot better than I thought it was, even though it looked really good initially.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Oh,
very
well.
Cool stuff. But I don't, you know, as much as I actually really do like Castlevania music, I don't feel the need to have a CD of it. I just don't. I've said this before, but I'm not the kind of guy to put on game music when I get in the car, and so I just don't care.
I am.
But let's it's die. A nice. I mean, I will admit, Castlevania music is some of the best game music there is, and I really enjoy it while I'm playing the game. But that I don't need to hear it outside of that. Anyway, so that's what we've been playing. All right, then we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey everyone, this is Steven Rodriguez for Video Game Advantage. Are you tired of paying full price for your video games? Like getting games online but don't like being overcharged for shipping? Check out Video Game Advantage. While most other stores charge full price for games, VGA has the lowest prices on the internet for Wii, Nintendo DS, GameCube, and Game Boy Advance games. They've also got great prices for other platforms like the PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360. Shipping is fast and cheap, too. Most games can be shipped to your door for less than what it would cost you to buy in traditional retail stores. If you're going to buy your games online, the only place to do it is Video Game Advantage. The best prices, the best service, and fast shipping. VideoGameAdvantage.com.
And we're back! Okay, so for segment two, we're going to cover some news stories that have been out this week, and foremost on many of our minds are the NPD sales data that were released a couple days ago. And of course, these are the biggest sales data of the year and maybe of the generation, because they talk about the launch sales of two brand new systems that are competing against each other, and also another that's trying to get a pretty strong foothold in the market before these new guys come in and take out its momentum. But I have to say, I was looking forward to these numbers, and then when I saw them, I realized why I should have known better, because especially if you're thinking about hardware sales... How could you possibly be surprised at this? I mean, I'm seeing news stories pop up. It's like, oh, Nintendo blasts Sony selling more than, a 2-to-1 ratio. And I'm like, I could have told you that 3 months ago. You know, well, actually, I thought it would be a much larger ratio because Nintendo didn't ship as many as they said they would. But obviously, both companies were going to sell out all the product that they had. We all knew how many systems Sony was going to ship. We thought we knew how many systems Nintendo was going to ship, but we did know a few days ago before this sales data came out. So I'm looking at this thinking, not that interesting. I am surprised that 360 only sold 500,000 units, and I'm shocked that GBA sold over 600,000, and I'm thinking, who is buying these things? It's unfathomable to me who would buy a GBA at this point in time.
Parents that don't know any better and are just buying it for their little kid because they know that Game Boy is popular. I mean, you're talking about people that don't even know that the DS isn't the Game Boy, technically speaking.
Yeah, well,
I think that's pretty much what it is.
I guess. It's just a strange side effect of the DS not being called Game Boy Advance 2 or whatever. I mean, I guess that's part of it.
I agree.
The DS certainly hasn't hurt the DS. It's selling like crazy over here, even though I have to say, still, I still don't think the software lineup for DS is as good as it could be or as good as it is in Japan. I still think the U.S. Well, the Japanese games that are coming over here are great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at least some of them are great. A good many of them are great. And you know, it's awesome that we're getting something like Elite Beat Agents, which is especially made for America, but it's still from a Japanese company, and it's based on a Japanese game, and it's being published by a Japanese company, Nintendo. And I still look at the games that are being made in America, and they're awful.
Yeah.
It's been over 2 years. When will we have good DS games being developed in America? And I guess it doesn't matter. If Americans are buying the system like crazy and apparently buying games,
yeah,
they just don't care.
They don't care. And that's one of the good things. I don't know about good things. It's just one of the things that the market leader can get away with. Because you've seen all the shovelware that came out in the PS2. You know, did people...
Yeah, but there were good American games for PS2.
Yeah, well...
At the very least, the sports games.
Yeah, but you know the DS.
Well, you don't even have that on the DS.
Yeah, portable systems have never been a place for sports games. They're just,
no,
they, don't
they
fit.
Could be, but they're just not. No, I think they could be. It's just nobody's really putting forth the effort. The Madden games for DS could be really good, but they clearly just don't really care.
The thing about it is that everybody knows it. It's especially true in the handheld space. If you're putting out a game on the DS, you're competing with Nintendo's games, which is you've already lost before you even start. To tell the truth.
I don't know.
Unless you're putting in a game that isn't Nintendo. I mean, a sports game. Nintendo isn't making football games for the DS. And if someone came out with a good football game and they weren't Nintendo, Nintendo wasn't competing with them.
Yeah, but I've said this before. I even said it last time I was on the podcast. But probably part of the reason why there are not really any sports games being released on DS is that Nintendo isn't releasing their own. And I hope that's going to be different on Wii.
Going back to that old editorial,
I think
huh?
It will be. Yeah, sure. I still think it's a good editorial, and at the time, people thought I was stupid and crazy for it. And I was like, look, you know, did the success of Halo on Xbox drive away publishers from releasing first-person shooters on Xbox? No, completely the opposite. And the same thing would happen for sports games and any other kind of game. If you want other publishers to release games, I mean, look at freaking Brain Boost that came out this week on DS.
Yeah.
It's a complete garbage copy of Brain Age, Brain Training. And if you want third-party publishers to release games on your system, make that kind of game yourself, and it works. And Sony does it, and Microsoft has done it in the past. I don't really think they're doing it now. But they're probably trying with the children's games from Rare. I don't really know if that's working or not, because the children's games from Rare aren't that good until Viva Pinata, but... I have to say, I've heard so much about Viva Pinata, I'm really curious about it, but it's not even close enough to get me to buy a 360. Do you guys have any other comments about the sales data? I'm just ranting.
How many DSs? 917,000 in a month?
A hell of a lot. Yeah, a hell of a lot. That's how many.
You know, the NPD data, for those curious, didn't have the PSP numbers in there, but actually the PSP did pretty well this past month.
It doesn't include Walmart numbers either.
That's true, but yeah. That doesn't really matter.
Wow.
Shocking. I mean, it's not shocking to me that the DS would sell more than these new systems because it's far more in supply, but what games are coming out on DS that are driving people out there to buy them? Because I'd love to believe it's Elite Beat Agents, but it ain't.
It's probably all the other games that have just been out and people are finally getting around to buy one.
And for presents, too.
Yeah, because you know how hard Nintendo's been advertising games after they've been releasing them.
Yeah, aren't they still showing commercials for Mario Kart?
Probably.
I wonder if you can
still find
opponents in Mario Kart online. I haven't tried it in ages, but...
I never enjoyed doing it, so...
Yeah.
I quit doing it a long time ago.
I have to say, Mario Kart is fun if you can get, like, three of your friends, but playing against random people is not that much fun.
It's only fun if you can snake, too.
People drop out a lot. All right. The second item in our news roundup is that the UK launch happened this week. In fact, the European launch happened this week.
Yeah, and Australia.
We have some hard numbers. Yeah, Australia was the day before, I think. And we have some hard numbers for the UK. They sold out 50,000 units, which I'm assuming is all they had. And that doesn't seem like much, but you got to remember, the UK is a small country. It's not even the biggest. It's not even nearly the biggest country in Europe. So it's a good number for them, probably. It's probably fairly proportionate to what we got in America. From everything we've heard, Europe was a pretty big success, and it's very hard to find a system right now. Do you think it was as big of a frenzy, though, as we had in America and Japan?
Probably.
I don't know. I haven't... Lars Paulsen from Denmark sent us a write-up of his Wii launch story, and I haven't read it yet, but from what he said in his email, it was pretty boring. He just showed up and bought it and left.
I heard...
That could just be a Danish thing, though.
I heard a story that they were fighting over a system somewhere in some country. I think it was GameSpot that had it. Let me check right now here.
But in Europe?
Yeah. I mean, no matter what new system that comes out, if demand is more than the supply, there's going to be some things going on. It doesn't matter. Obviously, the PS3... Oh, wait, the PS3 isn't out over there yet. Wow, okay. But no, they're going to have problems. It's not like people are going to be shooting each other, but there's going to be people running in lines and, you know, disputes of, oh, I got this system, no, you got this system, or software shortages or accessory shortages. It's going to be the same no matter what for any system.
You wouldn't expect that there would be, like, drive-bys at a system launch in Europe. I mean, there's a cultural divide, right? I mean, it's got to be somewhat different.
I doubt it. Because the early adopters, no matter what country you are the same, pretty much the same for anybody. Obviously, it's going to be a little different in America because we drive in trucks, and in the UK, they drive in lorries. What's up with that? But I'm sure things are going to come up eventually about people engaging in fisticuffs for whatever Wii systems are on the shelves because, you know, Christmas is getting pretty close over there. I might be desperate for them. I don't know.
Yeah, they do actually. I guess they do celebrate Christmas over there.
What?
Happy Christmas!
I don't think we're experts at talking about the subject. So let's move on.
Yeah, we apparently all three of us are really, really knowledgeable about Europe.
Oh yeah.
I've been to Europe, and I still don't know anything about
Would you care for a massage?
a massage.
A massage.
Yeah, on that bad accent. Let's move on to the next story. So, Zelda for GameCube is being released this week in the U.S.
Wait. GameCube?
Yeah, for GameCube. Zelda Twilight Princess. It exists for GameCube.
Really?
I know. Wow. Yeah, it really does. So, I don't think any of us on this panel are going to be buying it for GameCube, probably. I kind of wish we had someone like Stan or Carl who would probably be considering that because they don't have a Wii yet. But what do you guys feel about this? I mean, to me, the most interesting thing about it is we haven't seen this version in a year and a half. Since E3 2005, we have not seen or played this game for GameCube. And I'm pretty curious about how they're going to handle things like the controls.
Well, it's going to be just like it was before. I mean,
for Wind Waker? No, because you can hold more items in Twilight Princess.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, and you can only hold 3 items at a time in Wind Waker. So they're going to have to come up with something slightly different, at least.
I'm not sure. Do we really need to have space for 4 items?
It would be nice to have, but
the game will play fundamentally differently on the two systems if you don't find some way to implement that. And I think they could easily do it on the C-Stick, considering that... that's the other thing. I mean, do you think the GameCube version is going to have free camera control
in
Wind Waker?
Yeah, that's already been confirmed, actually.
There have already been reports from the Japanese version.
Oh, it's out in Japan?
I didn't even know that. They came out the same day as the Wii version.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't
aware of that. Yeah, and one funny thing I was reading about is... I think I kind of noticed something wrong, and I discussed it with Wendy in a previous discussion. Is that I felt like, you know, the geography's kind of funky in the game. Things seem kind of odd, and if you pay close attention, you'll notice that the sun rises in the west and sets in the east, and it all stems from the fact that Link's right-handed in the Wii version and left-handed on the GameCube, like usual.
Yeah, what kind of smoke were they? What kind of crack were they smoking when they decided that just because in the GameCube version he's holding his sword in the other hand, that they had to reverse the entire game world?
I suspect some of the architecture. Don't forget, when Link swings his sword, you know, it makes a difference whether it's on your right side or your left side because he's right-handed.
Not much. It really doesn't make that much difference. And certainly not to the point of warranting that they mirror the entire world. I think that's so bizarre.
Yeah, there.
You know, it could have been
when I first heard about that, I thought it was a mistranslation.
Really?
I'd believe it just because the sun shouldn't be rising in the west and setting in the east.
Yeah, obviously.
And
maybe it does in Japan.
I don't think so.
Well, no, that was one of my concerns when I heard that they were going to mirror everything. I was like, okay, so they're going to have the sun set on the wrong side of the world. There was one cutscene pretty early on in the game.
It's wrong in the Wii version. The Wii version is the mirrored version.
Okay. But no, there's another thing where a consequence of them flipping everything is that Link shakes hands with his left hand. People shake hands with their left hands, which I saw that and knew right away. Wait, that's not right.
I don't think I would notice that.
No, that bugged me a lot. I don't know why.
I think it's just weird that the world map is going to be flipped.
They're going to flip everything.
Yeah.
What was in the east is now in the west.
It seems so excessive. Well, okay. We'll probably have somebody in the forums telling us exactly why they would have to do that, but I think it's a crazy decision. It seems almost like something they're doing just to entice people to buy both versions so you can play the game in a slightly different way, like the Master Quest. Everything's backwards.
Mirror mode. It costs you $50 to unlock.
Seriously.
I think if there isn't a good reason for it, and it's kind of an in-joke probably with Nintendo, so they can know, oh, this is the version we're looking at right now because it's... because everything's mirrored.
Well, here's a question for you guys. In the short term, do you think the GameCube version is going to sell better than the Wii version?
In the short term?
Yeah,
let's
say 6 months, 8 months.
I'm wondering, actually, what I wanted to ask you guys is, how many people do you think are going to buy this for GameCube because they don't have Wiis yet, versus how many people are going to buy this to play on their Wiis?
If you have a Wii and you buy the GameCube version, you are an idiot.
Why?
Because the Wii version is... the GameCube version has its pros, but the pros in the Wii version trump the pros in the GameCube version. It's that simple.
I mean, I think the Wii version has a couple of cons.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to the GameCube version.
The Wii
and
version...
that's without having even played the GameCube version. I mean, for people like me, and I realize not everybody is having this problem, but for me and some other people I've talked to, the sword controls are really not adequate. In the Wii version.
They work,
but when it comes down to certain boss fights and things where you have to have very good timing, it was extremely frustrating for me that the sword controls were not responsive.
Yeah,
I look at the GameCube version and I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of attractive to me to be able to have the sword work every single time that I tell it to.
Yeah, I'd say the sword controls in the Wii version are about 80-85%, not 100%, you know, it's there, it works. But... of course, the flip side is to it. A lot of boss battles and puzzles require you that you need to aim and hit something really quick.
That's true.
And you're not going to have a lot of fun doing that on the GameCube version. I can guarantee you that. So, I mean, yeah, there's a trade-off right there. You could make the argument, okay, those cancel each other out. So what else does the Wii version have over the GameCube version? Let's see. Widescreen support? That's a pretty attractive pro for me.
Yeah, because you have a widescreen TV, but yeah, most people don't.
The people that are going to be buying it for GameCube and thinking about playing the GameCube version are probably not the high-end people that waited in line because they're hardcore to get Wii at launch.
Yeah, and there are even a fair number of people like me. I have an HDTV, so I can certainly appreciate having progressive scan, but mine is a standard ratio because I don't like the way anything looks in widescreen on TVs. I was talking to Stan about this a while back, but like a widescreen TV, when you buy it, your standard ratio stuff, like on TV... either gets stretched out or it takes up a small portion of the screen. And even when you buy a DVD of a movie that was originally done in widescreen, it still doesn't take up the full screen because the widescreen standard for movies on projectors is different than the widescreen standard that they sell TVs at because it's 2.35:1 instead of 16:9. It makes my head explode. They've made an entire market out of widescreen TVs that don't fit any content being sold. It's ridiculous. That's why I won't buy a widescreen TV. Yeah, it fits some game consoles. Yes, it does.
Well, it could be worse. You could have bought my monitor, which has component video in, and it's a different resolution from any of those that you talked about. It's or different proportions. It's 16:10.
16:10, right?
Yeah, that's the standard for the quote unquote standard for PCs. So I have my choice of slightly stretched 16:9 if I want 16:9 on my Wii. Or I get lines, vertical lines on left and right anyway.
That sounds like it would be a pretty minor alteration, though.
It isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But
it's noticeable.
I mean, it just yet another stand. No, the guys don't have their act together. The electronics industry or whatever doesn't have their act together
really
when it comes to these things.
All right. Well, let's move on. The next point really saddens me. The Bob Ross Joy of Painting game was canceled this week.
Almost canceled.
Almost canceled?
The developer,
tell us the story.
The developer said they'd stop doing it, but later said, no, we're not canceling it because it wasn't up to them to cancel it. Apparently, Bob Ross Incorporated, the owners of the Bob Ross property and all that stuff, mm-hmm. there is some chance that they will still want to bring out this game, and they'll find another developer, and they'll find a publisher, and they'll get it out. But it's just in perpetual limbo. It has not been totally canceled. Nobody said it's canceled.
Okay, yeah, well, in other
it's
words,
canceled.
It's been canceled. It may be reannounced a few years down the line.
Yeah, basically.
So it sounds like they were looking at what the developer was doing, and they weren't happy with it.
I think the developer, Agfrag, they just bit off more than they could chew,
yeah,
in all honesty, because we never heard of them before this, and we never heard anything after they announced this agreement. So.
I would love to see what this game could become in the hands of a developer like Nintendo that understands how to make these kind of creative toolbox kind of games, like with Mario Paint and the Mii Channel and all that stuff. I love the idea of a Joy Painting game. You know, the whole point of the show was to teach you how to paint using simple techniques.
Happy trees.
It could be brilliantly translated into a video game.
Yep.
But it's going to take some talented people. And from the very beginning, I was a little worried about it coming from this unknown developer, but I thought, hey, let them try it. You know, I mean, it could
at
work. Least we'll have something to show for it. It could be cool.
And it still could be cool, but we're going to have to wait to see if somebody picks it up and makes it cool.
Yeah.
And also sets a bad precedent for other games that could be kind of like it. You know, if they're having trouble with that, maybe another developer will think before, you know, making that really cool cooking game or whatever, you know. So I've always thought some shows from the Food Network.
Iron Chef!
Similar show.
Make it.
Like Iron Chef. I mean,
make
there
it.
Could be some cool games based on cooking shows and the like, things like that. Or maybe, you know, like one of those things on the, what's like, the garage? What's the garage one where like they build different cars?
Monster Garage.
Things like that could have good.
No, because they already tried making a game like that. And it
oh, really?
Sucked.
Okay, well, let it this out, then.
Yeah, they already made a Monster Garage game, oddly enough. All right, well, that's the end of Bob Ross. He died again this week.
Very sad.
And we will miss him yet again. All right, and our final news story of the day, the component cables are sold out. This isn't really news. They've been sold out since before the launch, right?
Well, didn't Mad Cat say they had some more in stock, and then hours later they were sold out again?
Oh,
yeah,
that
I got
right?
one of those.
I haven't even heard that. Yeah, I heard that Mad Catz was releasing their own version, which are probably adequate at least.
That's what I'm using
and
right
they
now,
were
Johnny.
Gone just as fast as they were announced that they were in stock.
You know, I'm surprised that no one has stepped up to do, like, really high-volume importing, exporting from Japan, because apparently they're very easy to find in Japan, and they're actually a good bit cheaper. So you could probably export from Japan and sell in America for about the same price that the American cables cost.
Well,
but nobody's really doing that. I mean,
the
some
same
small
price,
online
yeah.
importers are doing it, but
yeah, I mean, I resorted to getting mine imported from Japan, and since Leaksang is no longer in business, I had to go over to Play Asia,
mm-hmm.
and I ordered them, and I checked my order status the other day, and it told me my cables would ship on or about December 4th, and it is not December 4th anymore, and I'm still waiting for them to ship them. Which means I think a lot of people ordered some component cables from Japan. And so I think people caught wind of that pretty early.
Yeah. Well, I think it's curious to me. I'm a little surprised at the demand. You know, the GameCube component cables were always a little hard to find. But
online only.
It seemed like the number of people looking for them was a lot lower. And this is like a frenzy. I mean, it's really a frenzy. Is this just a difference in the level of technology that we're at in this generation, that so many people have TVs with component input that they really want them?
Well, don't forget that basically every TV has component in now, even ones that, you know, don't do progressive scan or anything. They all have component.
The new ones.
Yeah, all TVs being sold right now
yeah.
have, you know, that aren't like really small, whatever, for your refrigerator or whatever, have component in. So even people that don't have progressive scan HD they still know that, well, component video is the best quality video, and there's no S-Video out either. So, I mean, if you want anything better than composite, and a lot of people know that composite's pretty bad, they got to go for component right
you
now.
You can buy an S-Video cable for a Wii, can't you?
I think you can now.
I'm almost positive
Japan.
That you... No, I think even in America they were selling them at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
not packed
not
in a box,
but...
Really?
I haven't found any online.
Huh.
I'm still waiting
That's
for
surprising.
The old VGA cable. I won't have to sucker up my monitor.
They should be able to do that since virtually all Wii games have progressive scan. It should work pretty well. And I'm sure it'll happen eventually. They're still selling a D-Link cable in Japan, and that's what... The D-Link cable for GameCube was what the modders used to make the GameCube VGA cable.
Yeah, but that's misleading, though. The way that worked was that there was actually a chip in the cables, which is why they were not in plentiful supply. There was a chip inside of the component or D-Link cable, and people were rewiring some of the pins on there to make it output RGB. And that chip is no longer there on the Wii. It's in the, whatever that chip
in
did is inside of the Wii now.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, they use the D-Link cables, but unless D-Link outputs an RGB, which I don't think it does, or D-Terminal, whatever it's called, not D-Link, that's a company.
Oh, you're right.
Crappy wireless routers.
Sorry.
I don't think it's been confirmed that you can output RGB without tearing into your Wii. I don't think anyone's figured it out yet.
Interesting. So it's possible that even if Nintendo wanted to release a VGA cable, an official VGA cable, it might still have some kind of hardware in the cable to do some kind of conversion, like the old VGA adapter for Dreamcast, right?
If they at any time plan to have a VGA cable, they wouldn't make the Wii capable of outputting RGB. I mean, they would know. That's why they did it. I mean, it has to output it at least in Europe because they have SCART cables.
Right.
The question is whether the U.S. version also has the capability to do that or
it
not.
Should.
That's what it really comes down to.
I think all the regions of Wii are probably just like the GameCube in that they're virtually the same on the inside. You just have certain switches that are set or not set. Well, it may be different from PAL to NTSC, but I have a feeling that pretty soon you're going to find some modders are going to figure out how to mod the Wii so you can play between Japan and the North American games.
Well, that was just a quick little bridge and a switch on the GameCube, so it shouldn't be that much different for the Wii, I don't think.
Well, it depends on whether they're doing it in hardware or firmware. If they're doing it in firmware, then it's going to be harder, and you're going to end up having to have some kind of mod chip like you do on the PS2 and the Xbox.
Yeah, don't forget they have more of a reason to actually do this generation.
Well, I would feel much better about modding my Wii if I found out it was a matter of changing a pot on a certain chip rather than installing some kind of third-party pirate chip, hacking into the system and everything. I feel less comfortable with something like that, and that's going to be more expensive as well because you're having to pay for a piece of hardware that someone custom designed. So I'm hoping it's just a matter of switching a wire like it was on GameCube. I mean, I still paid someone to do it for me, but it was cheap and simple. and they had like a little physical switch you could hit to switch back and forth. I mean, it couldn't be easier. Anyway, that's a completely different topic. So that's all of our news, and we're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be back in a minute with our feature topic, which we're going to blaze through. So we'll see you in a minute.
This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Evan Birchfield. Evan Birchfield is the finest supplier of premium high-definition televisions and toaster ovens. Please be sure to visit Evan Birchfield and peruse their online catalogs at www.batmanreturnsismydaddy.com. As always, Evan Birchfield appreciates your patronage, and with each purchase of $50,000 or more, we'll provide you with a free photograph of a cubic zirconium diamond found in the least inhumane mines of Africa. Remember, if it doesn't say Evan Birchfield, it may not be very good.
All right, guys, and we're back. So for our final segment of this episode, I want to ask our panel the big question of the day, which is, can we sustain its momentum? It's had an extremely successful launch, now a worldwide launch, and it's sold out virtually everywhere. And people, not only has it sold out, but unlike the PS3, people seem to be almost universally positive about it, other than a couple gripes here and there. But people are excited about it, and people want it really badly, and people seem to be very eager to show it off to their friends and their family, who then get the bug, and then they want one for themselves. And the software seems to be selling very well. Not only Zelda, but a lot of third-party stuff as well, including even stuff like Red Steel, which is of dubious quality. So the question is, can we keep it up? GameCube definitely didn't. No, what does Nintendo have to do differently?
The GameCube didn't because the games dried up pretty quickly, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen this time with the Wii, because Nintendo pushed back all these launch releases further back, you know, early 2007, mid-late 2007. So, you know, you've got, like, Metroid, Mario, obviously Smash Brothers is next year. So
Wario.
You're gonna have all the, oh, yeah, Wario, that's coming out this month. You got all these...
Wario comes out in January in America.
Is it? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew that. But anyways, you've got all these mid to major releases nice and spaced out for the rest of the year. So there's no doubt that Nintendo can keep it going for all the hardcore people. The question I want to know is, Nintendo's been getting all this press, you know, even the bad press, the quote-unquote bad press they've been getting with all of the Wiimotes breaking and injuries and stuff. You know, they're reporting this stuff on CNN. You can't get press coverage like that if you bought it. They're giving free advertising to the Wii, basically. Mm-hmm. The question I want to know is, can Nintendo keep this up to the mainstream, to the casual, to the non-gamer type of crowd?
And for them to do that, it's different, right? Because for the hardcore gamer, they care about new games coming out every month. But for the casual gamer, they don't really keep up with the release dates. They, like, in order to keep it in the mind of the casual person, or to introduce it to someone months after launch, you have to go about it differently. You can't just release a game, right?
Exactly. And the things like the Touch Generations games for the DS, those are good because Nintendo can just say, here's a game like Clubhouse Games. You know how to play card games and board games and all these other stuff. This is a game for you guys. And Nintendo's releasing stuff like, obviously, Wii Sports is the Wii pack in, but that's just good for launch. And then Wii Play, that's coming out, is it this month or next month?
It's January or February.
Man, it's too long.
Yeah, we got the shaft here for a couple things.
Yeah. Probably because of remote supply issues.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, Wii Play is another game that Nintendo can advertise to anybody. And then in the pipeline, they've got stuff like Wii Music and those other demos they showed off at E3 that they could maybe turn into games down the road. So the thing about it is, not only do they have to space out the releases for us, space out the Wario and the Mario and the Metroid and the Smash Brothers, those games for us, but they also need to space out all the games for them. Those Wii Sports, Wii Play, Wii Music, you know, the quote-unquote non-game software for everybody else. So they have to keep the interest of everybody else, too.
Well, I would even add to that. Again, I don't think releasing a new game in a few months, I don't think releasing one game is really going to excite the casual market. But I think because they don't necessarily look at games, they don't really care how new it is. But I think continually adding features like Opera, like the news channel, like the weather channel, and eventually bringing in the online components more and more, and also the perpetual releasing of virtual console stuff, which at some point a casual gamer will have heard of one of these games if they keep releasing them at this rate. That's the stuff that's going to help keep them in the media and keep them interesting to people. What do you think, TYP?
I think they need to continue their marketing strategy, because Nintendo's known for having a good marketing idea and then kind of not falling through with it over a very long period of time. And, you know, what they really need to do is keep that mindset. They have all this momentum now. They have all this good press. And what they really don't want to do is let Sony take that back. If they really want to take hold and, you know, move forward with this, they got to, you know, make sure that they keep putting, you know, viral marketing in there and put the billboards up in whatever train stations. And you know, I've seen with the DS, and if they can do the same thing with Wii that they've done with the DS, I mean, clearly DS has continued its momentum. And, of course, it's a different market. Nintendo is, for many people, synonymous with portable gaming, even though Sony has a good system out now.
The DS is still...
They really need to... I mean, they just need to keep up their effort. They got to say... They can't say, oh, well, everyone's happy, they've got good press, everyone knows about us now, let's just put in an advertisement on TV for the first 2 weeks the game's out now. They just can't do that.
No.
So you think they have to keep up the word of mouth, just like
yes.
that for pre-launch. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Do you just keep doing the same stuff? Do you keep having parties? You know, like at this point, having some kind of Wii party or, you know, the Fusion Tour or that kind of stuff that they were doing, at this point to people like us is not interesting anymore because the system's already out. They're probably not going to show any upcoming games for it. But to a casual person who still hasn't had a chance to play Wii in 3 months from now, that kind of thing could still catch their interest. I mean, isn't it feasible that they could continue some of the success and the word of mouth and the non-traditional marketing by just keep up the same efforts that they've been doing?
Sure. I mean, they had the Cube Clubs many years into the GameCube's life.
Really?
And I don't know how useful those were in the grand scheme of things, but I mean, sure. Keep up the stuff.
Well, that goes back into what I was saying about new game releases, is that they can go around town showing games like Wii Sports and Excitetruck to the masses, but, you know, if a game like Wii Sports isn't going to do it, well, then you're going to need something else. Maybe you show somebody Wii Play. It's like, oh, yeah, that looks like Duck Hunt. Yeah, I've played that before. Oh, this is pretty easy. So even how accessible Wii Sports is, not everybody is going to connect with it right away. So
not
if you
everybody
have,
cares about sports.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you have these other games, like a new game like Wii Play, and you show that to people, that might help get people interested in it. So they can go around the country doing these word-of-mouth viral things every time they release a new game for them, like I was saying. And eventually, they're going to find a game that will spark their people's interest. And then they might give one of these other games they might have passed on a try. And then after that, they'll just go with it, and then they'll start talking about all these games, and it'll go on from there.
I sincerely hope Nintendo itself tries a music game for Wii, because, I mean, I think music games are starting to reach the mainstream, you know, things like Karaoke Revolution and DDR.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think they're starting to come to the forefront, and although they haven't really been successful, the DS has things like EBA, I think for a console, I mean, that could be a very good approach,
you know,
for both
games and on. As an aside to that, you know how cool a game would be, a Wii game would be, from Q or Innes? I cannot wait for that.
It's got to happen eventually, I have to think. But you know, Wii Music is actually on the release schedule for Japan.
Yeah.
I think it's coming out early next year, but that's the orchestra and the drum stuff that they had at E3 this year, and I don't think that's going to do it.
That stuff was so weak. I'm sure they have a lot more. That was obviously just the demo stuff.
Yeah, but the Wii Sports demos were not that much different than what they ended up putting in Wii Sports, and the Wii Play stuff doesn't appear to be much different either.
Yeah, but
I worry that
Wii
Music is going to end up being... Yeah, Wii Sports is good. It was good back then. Wii Music, the stuff that they showed for Wii Music back at E3 was not good. In my opinion, the drum demo was pretty bad. It was very confusing and not intuitive at all. The way you controlled it was bizarre. You changed drums not by pointing at a different drum on the screen, but by holding down a different button. It was really difficult to do, actually. And the orchestra thing is, I don't care how little you play games, it doesn't take long to realize that in the orchestra thing, you're waving your arms for minutes at a time the exact same way. It's not fun. It's just not fun. It's silly. I mean, it makes you look silly. It's a good party favor. It's not a game.
It's
a
Mario Party.
Yeah, at the most, it's a Mario Party minigame.
Well,
they're
sure
really going to have to beef that stuff up.
Yeah,
it would have to be a composing software, basically.
Yeah, I mean,
really, if it's going to have to be like Mario Paint, only better with composing software.
I'm sure they figure that out, which is why they're not going to bother releasing it anytime soon. But on the flip side, they could release it as is to Japan and sell hundreds of thousands of copies. It doesn't really matter at this point, because the Japanese are going to buy anything Wii from Nintendo right now.
Could be. That could be. All right, guys. Well, I think we covered that topic pretty well, actually. And so the yes or no, do you think Wii can sustain its momentum for the next at least 6 months?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
I think so, too. A lot better than GameCube did.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being with us, and to our listeners, thanks for sitting with us for this longish podcast. And I'll remind you guys to please check us out at NintendoWorldReport.com. If you have any email questions, I would love to be reading off some listener feedback, but we don't get any. So if you want to be heard, you can send us an MP3 or something. I'm sure we can figure out a way to do that. Well, you can't do that on the site right now, but we'll arrange something one day. At the very least, you can send us an email, a question, a comment. We'll gladly read it off, and your name if you want, and where you're from if you want. Send that to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. And I'll ask again. I'm the only one who seems to really care, but if you enjoy listening to our podcast, and if you happen to use iTunes, please go to our page on the iTunes Music Store and write a review for us. It'll help us out a lot, actually, as far as the listing on the store and things like that. It'll help a lot of people to find the podcast and become, hopefully, regular readers and listeners of Nintendo World Report. So with that, we'll lead you out with a little exit music from Jason Ricci, as always, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No, it's wrong in the Wii version. The Wii version is the mirrored version.